I'm actually a health educator with the state of Wisconsin in the Bureau of Environmental and Occupational Health, and I've been working for, it's now 2 years, as a partner with ATSDR in putting together a framework that helps us get communities involved in the redevelopment and revitalization process. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. I have no financial relationships to disclose. I should, because, you know, I work for the state government, so I should have something going on the side, but I don't. I would like to thank the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, EPA, our own Department of Natural Resources, the Milwaukee Health Department, Sauk County Health Department, Milwaukee Department of City Development, 30th Street Development Community, and the Baraboo Riverfront Redevelopment Community. And you could see, you know, it's a lot of partners, and that's really what it's all about, is making those partnerships. And what I'm going to propose today is that the local health departments can take that on as a role. So today I'm going to go through this action model framework that we developed, and I want, at the end of the session, I want really for all of you to go back home and think about how you can use the action model to identify those health disparities in your own communities and to identify ways that the health department can bring in the communities. Why public health? Well, we know that there's the potential for the presence of physical and chemical hazards at brownfield sites, and we know that just the stigma is enough to cause this potential decreased business interest, although we also know that in many cases there really is no or very little contamination present. So the traditional public health roles, and certainly in Wisconsin, our traditional public health role has really been to come out and do a human health hazard assessment, to do a site assessment, to do some technical assistance with our state DNR and the consultants looking at the remediation plan, and even making recommendations of how we can mitigate those human exposures. But I want to propose that there is an additional role for public health in brownfield redevelopment. And I know it hasn't, I really applaud you for being involved as a health officer, because it really hasn't taken off yet. And I think a lot of health officers and other folks at local health departments think, you know what, I've got to go and do my inspections of all of my food establishments. I got to do my WIC, oversee all the WIC clinics. I don't have time to add one more thing in. But what I hope to show you today is it's not a big additional job, and it actually helps your communities in such rich ways. So brownfield redevelopment is this real estate transaction that traditionally has included realtors, developers, consultants, bankers, and then the government units, either the local, the state, or the federal level government units. And either that's because of an EPA brownfields grant, et cetera. But the communities that live around, or even maybe just within the brownfield areas, are not necessarily brought to the table during that redevelopment planning. And because of that, you may have missed opportunities for these things that Ann talked about, the putting in of the health services and the food services, et cetera, the things that the community really needs. And so I propose that there's a new public health role, and that's to facilitate, to bridge that gap between the community and the traditional brownfield redevelopment partners. And you might think, or actually if you were maybe one of those traditional redevelopment partners, you might think, whoa, wait a minute, do I really want to get my community involved? Then I'm going to have to be hearing from the old lady down the street who's always upset at anything I try to do, and then the health department's going to tell me I have to do something else, and it's just going to take longer, and it's going to gum up the works. Well, really, what we've found is that by using this model that we developed, you get the community involved right at the beginning, and you actually decrease your chance for the whole process to take so long. The community is an active partner and a member from the very start. They have their issues come up to the forefront, and so you open up a dialogue. So this community, I guess we called it Brownfields Land Revitalization Action Model. It's a framework that, like I said, it's implemented at the community level. It was created through a pilot project that we did with ATSDR and the city of Milwaukee in Wisconsin in their 30th Street Corridor redevelopment area. And at the very start, the focus is on building your development community to include more than those traditional partners, so really including those residents as well as the developers, agencies, and health departments. So anyone that has an interest in redevelopment. And the key components of the action model, maybe I could just move this up here. Number one, we want to identify what are the community's top priorities. What are the issues that they see as the top issues? Not that we see as the health department, but that they actually have as their top issues. And then how do they feel that redevelopment can address these issues? What is the community health benefit that they will get out of addressing these issues? So say, for example, if one of the community issues is high lead poisoning, what health benefit are they going to get out of that, bringing down blood lead levels and increasing positive outcomes for their kids? And then finally, what's the data? What are the indicators that are going to show that we've had some sort of change on our community? So we did this, like I said, in the 30th Street Corridor area in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, just in case, because I know that some of you, before I moved to Wisconsin, I didn't quite know where it was either. So I just put Wisconsin on the map. It's right in the middle of the country. And Milwaukee is down in the southeast portion of Wisconsin, right on Lake Michigan. And the 30th Street Corridor is actually up in the northwestern part of Milwaukee. It's a 5-mile corridor north to south, and it follows an old industrial corridor that essentially follows 30th Street north to south. So what are some of the challenges that we saw in the community? Well, we all knew that there were many, many economic and social challenges. This was a former area of a lot of industrial use. It was just the industrial center of that area of Milwaukee, and we have a lot of vacant properties. I think we ultimately found about 790 vacant properties, but very high vacancy rate in the homes as well. We knew that there were really high, it's the epicenter of lead poisoning for Milwaukee, high asthma rates, etc. But there are some real strengths to this area, and one is its ease of access to the highways, to the waterways, and it really has the potential for business and residential growth. So where to begin? Where did we start? Well, first, we made up a list of who we felt should be involved in the development community, and that list included different state and federal agencies, as well as residents, community organizations, what city development folks, and even lenders and businesses. And then we took that list and contacted everybody on that list and asked them who should be involved in the development community and grew our list from that. Then, in a 2.5-hour meeting, we completed this action model. We sat everybody down at the table and said, what are your community health issues? And then we took it one step further and said, what would you like to see happen with redevelopment to address these issues? Then we filled in what would be the public health benefit, and then what can we measure? And we actually went ahead and did that for Milwaukee, but it turns out that even the communities can decide what are you going to measure at the end of the day to see if you've made some change in health. And in Milwaukee, they came up with 19 measures that they wanted to look at to establish what was the baseline for community health. And these measures roughly fell into 4 categories: health, community, land and environment, and buildings and infrastructure. So I'm just going to really quickly give you the summary of what they said their community issues were for these 4 different categories, and then some of the indicators that they came up with. The first for health was they were really concerned about exposure to harmful chemicals in their environment in the 30th Street corridor. And so the indicators that they said they wanted to measure were asthma hospitalizations, infant mortality rate, lead and copper in tap water, lead poisoning in children, and low birth weight. The community issues were elevated crime rates, lower educational attainment levels, and a lack of jobs. So what indicators did we come up with? Well, the acreage of vacant lots, because that's something we can measure before and after. Number of violent crimes. What is the educational attainment of the adults in the area? third grade reading comprehension levels, the percentage of adults that were on some sort of health plan, the percentage employment in the area, and the percentage living in poverty. In land and environment, they were concerned that there were limited opportunities for physical activity. Even though there are a whole bunch of vacant sites, it's not like these sites are really somewhere where you're going to go and do physical activity. And then, once again, this idea of, well, we're concerned because we have so many vacant sites that there's some additional exposure to physical and environmental hazards. So we looked at what is the acreage of parks in this area. How many people are using the parks? What is the park usage like? And what kind of contaminated land do we have? And we have a contaminated land database, too, that can be used for this process. And finally, buildings and infrastructure. They were concerned about all the vacant and poorly maintained buildings in their community, not only because of some resident exposure, but also because of that increased perception of blight. So we looked at, well, what is the number of commercial properties in the area, and what is the status of those properties? Then how many lead abatements are happening in the area? This is a really easy one to count, at least in Milwaukee, because we have such a wonderful health department that does lead abatements. And the number of new construction permits and residential properties. So that's Milwaukee, and that's their action model that I just went through really, really fast. But I want to go on to Baraboo. Baraboo is a slightly different type of community. It's a much smaller city. We're talking 11,000 instead of 700,000 in Milwaukee. But they, too, had concerns about their redevelopment area, and they really had a very strong focus on the environment, on keeping their riverfront, getting it clean, being able to use it, being able to access it, and they were very, very involved. And this was a case where, at the end of using the action model, the community actually came forward and said, you know, we knew that there was redevelopment happening, but we didn't really feel like we were a part of it at first. But after going through the action model and meeting with the city administrators and voicing our concerns, we really felt like we got to be part of the redevelopment process. Now, the city of Baraboo has gone one step further, and actually when they applied for their EPA Brownfields grant, they allocated 10% of the grant to go towards health monitoring and health work. And the Sauk County Health Department has received funding to do some of the health monitoring. So this is a wonderful example of how you all can actually, in your health departments, get some money to do this kind of action model and health monitoring. Like I said, their development community and their community folks were very, very involved in this process. Their issue categories fell into four categories: environment, land use or land reuse, safety, security, and health, and communication, risk communication. And the reason why health isn't on its own is that they had very different issues. So they didn't have the concern so much about the lead poisoning in children like we had in Milwaukee. But yet you see that they came up with 31 baseline measures. So whereas Milwaukee, where we would say, boy, they have huge health problems in kids, they came up with only 19. So you can tailor this action model, actually allows you to do very different things in very different communities. So just to give you one example of the community issues, just in environmental measures, some of their issues were to protect the riverfront and to preserve that green space, to clean up the river. They were concerned about some point and non-point source pollution, and then the status of closed and or open sites in the area. With the river preservation, this is a definite positive outcome of using this action model. Originally, the city administrator, working with the redeveloper, had planned there to be residential and commercial properties right up to the river. And as a result of going through this framework, he actually pushed that way back so that there would be green space for people to access the river. So all of a sudden, we see a positive outcome from getting the community involved. The indicators that they selected for these particular environmental measures were water quality parameters, city ordinances, The existence of city ordinances to address stormwater management, inventory of engineering practices instituted, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of these things were things that are already being collected, so it's not like you have to send somebody out to take water quality measures. They already had groups in the community that were taking these measures. And that's very important because you can't use a model that all of a sudden you have to have a whole bunch of money to go take a ton of new measures. And in fact, Baraboo had 33 measures to start with, but two of the measures we talked them out of because it was either going to be impossible to collect them or it just was going to take too much effort. The other thing that Baraboo did was, are we down to one? Was they used a site inventory tool that ATSDR has developed, and this is a wonderful tool that you input all of your sites into, and it tells you how to approach dealing with them. So finally, in conclusion, I think that this framework actually empowered community members to get involved in the process and helped them in their involvement in the process. There was a real positive reception by the local officials and the redevelopment folks. Plus, it provides a baseline so that then 5 years out or 10 years out, you can look and see and say, well, what were the effects that the redevelopment had on these health issues? And although we're still piloting the action model in a couple of other cities, and you'll hear about them from Laurel, but I think that the advantages to this action model, you can implement them in 1 to 2 workshops. So I'm not saying HIA is bad, but this is really literally you come in and 2.5 hours later, you've got a whole framework up. The results can provide a way to measure or track changes in the community. It's a little less stringent than other models in the evidence base, but it still has some evidence base. Unfortunately, it can't solve all the problems in the community. But our recommendations were really that those baseline measures need to be revisited to demonstrate whether there has been an impact on health. And finally, that our development communities and other members of the community should really take this information in the baseline report and use it to get future grants, future funding for making some other changes in the community. And actually, I guess we'll take all the questions at the end.